What's up, everyone? This is the Destruction Reviews Podcast. My name is Jason, along with Jeremiah. And today, we've got a few topics on the table. We're going to be talking the Spider-Man 2 video game release. We're going to be looking ahead at the NBA season, because tonight, as we record this, the Milwaukee Bucks is having their opening night game.
Woo, go Bucks!
Woo, fear the deer! But first, we're going to be talking about something that has sort of taken the media's attention, for better or worse. And simply put, we're going to be talking about Taylor Swift.
Yes, sir.
She has been all over NFL games recently, as she's been linked with Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. And if you are a Swiftie and you are listening to this, you obviously know her impact globally with her giant Eras Tour and her new Eras Tour movie that just came out. And we just wanted to take some time to look at this phenomenon. It's not a phenomenon because she's been a star for almost 17 years. And but she's come into the realm of, I guess,
icon.
Icon status. So as we get into this, I'm going to ask Jeremiah. Before the NFL season, and she sort of came on TV for that, how familiar were you with Taylor Swift?
Okay. So I do know some of her songs. I do know some of her songs, but I wouldn't consider myself a Swiftie.
Yeah.
I'm not diehard Taylor Swift, but I like her music. I think she's really cool. I think she's a good role model. So yeah, I knew who she was. I definitely knew who she was. And I knew her music, and I knew she was big, but man, I didn't know she was this big. She's really, really, really big.
And one of the things that opened our eyes to the impact of what her fan base can deliver is we threw out some posts on X just mentioning her name or mentioning Travis Kelce's name, putting on some pictures along with the post, and getting thousands upon thousands of views and likes and reposts and bookmarks and people commenting. And it just, the reach of her is astronomical.
Yes. I couldn't believe. It was like a little experiment that we did. Jason threw out some tweets. And over the course of what? Like 5 hours, it had already had like 10,000 views, I believe.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was getting like 1,000 views an hour.
Yes, that was about the average.
Which is outrageous, man. Outrageous. And my react, the tweet that he put out was, he mentioned her in the simplest way possible.
Yeah.
He didn't, there was just nothing to the tweet.
It was just her name. Yeah, it was like... Last night, Travis Kelce had, you know, X receptions for X yards, and Taylor Swift was happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was it. And then a picture of him and her on the post.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Simple as that.
Right.
No shade, no gossip, no real fandom.
Right. No just article to read.
Yeah, just a statement.
Man. That is outrageous, man. That's outrageous.
I don't know if I'd call myself a Swiftie. You know, I've enjoyed her music for a long time. You know, when she came out in 06 with her country record, Tim McGraw was her first song. I really liked her songwriting. I think that's what attracts me to her music is she does write her own music.
Okay.
She does she does put herself out there, as anyone who's kind of known her past history with breakups and songs. And some people are even saying, well, Travis Kelce will be the next album. But, like, she somehow crafts breakup or life experiences into these catchy pop songs or songs that people can relate to. And that is something that has, whether she's been country or pop or even a couple records a few years ago were very folksy. They were all sort of honest, and the songwriting has just been really stellar for her career.
I think that's what I like about her the most. That's what I love about her, actually. She isn't afraid to show, like, the ugly side. You know what I mean? She talks about her heartbreak. And she even talks about her own self, like, you know what I mean, shortcomings.
Yep.
You know what I mean? She puts herself out there, doesn't hide much. And that's a telltale sign of someone who is extremely honest, okay? There's nothing to hide. Put it out there, man.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And people respond to that kind of stuff. You know, I think that people respond best to the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
You know what I mean? People can see through when you're not being honest or when you're trying to pass something as one thing, but it's really another.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And she doesn't do that. And that's why I think she's a great role model, man, you know, for the young girls out there, because the young girls, all they want to do is look pretty and, you know, they don't. It's getting to the point now where, you know, there's a lot of pressure on young girls to be, you know, really pretty and be good in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff, lots of stuff. And Taylor, I think she shows that, hey, you don't have to be perfect.
Right.
You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to lie about what you got or your boyfriend. And you don't have to be ashamed about getting your feelings hurt. You know, it happens. People get their feelings hurt. And that's what I love about her, man. She's an honest, genuine person.
Well said. Well mm-hmm. said. And that honesty and genuine presentation
mm-hmm.
has put her on this iconic status that, like, the Eras Tour right now is, like, she's set to make billions of dollars on the tour alone. Great. And, like, those shows, when they come to town, man, her economic impact for each city is tremendous.
Mm.
Like, her tour is supposed to make $4.6 billion. That's what they estimate her tour to make after expenses and all that other stuff.
Right.
But that alone opens up job opportunities in every city, the hotel revenue, the restaurant revenue. There is just, she is her own, you know, gross national income.
Right.
And, you know, what's really cool is, I'm trying to form her words. She gave her semi drivers $100,000 bonus this summer.
Really?
Each guy who drives her, all her semis.
Wow.
Like each driver.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the hard work they put in, and she realizes and knows that everybody is a part of her team, and
right.
she wants to make people feel appreciated, feel, you know, noticed.
Right.
And like, if those guys don't drive, you know, to city, tour doesn't happen.
Mm.
So, I mean, as a role model of like projecting positive female stuff and, you know, all that stuff, as a businesswoman and as a leader,
mm-hmm.
she is just, she's on top of it too.
Yeah. She's incredible, man. She really is. She is an incredible. How old is she?
I'm glad you asked, because I know you've asked this before.
Because I'm just wondering if she's over 30. If she isn't over 30,
yeah,
you know, she's got a long career ahead of her.
As of today, she is 33.
33.
She'll be 34 in December.
Okay. And she's been at it for 17 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She came out when she was about 16.
Okay.
Just a curly-haired country singer.
Right.
And one thing you had brought up to me about her, her rise
mm-hmm.
was like, you know, she put the hard work in.
Yep.
She started, you know, at a country fair with a guitar and an amp, you mm-hmm. know, like the people you walk by at Summerfest and don't pay any attention to. She started there
mm-hmm.
and now she's selling out arenas, two nights in a row, Soldier Field. She did two nights in Chicago. She did six nights at SoFi Stadium in L.A., where the Rams play.
Wow. Wow. She is incredible, man. She's not only has she put the work in, but she's been through some adversity. Yep. We all remember Kanye West coming on the stage trying to steal her moment.
Yes.
You know what I mean? She took that on the head, mm-hmm. went, kept going, kept her head up. What is really interesting about her, she never down-talked Kanye West after that.
Nope.
You know, that had to be extremely hard,
and
man.
And they even did a song after that.
Yep. They even did a song. She collaborated with someone who literally tried to steal, at the time, I think that was like her most glorious moment. Has she ever won an award?
I don't remember which one. I think it was the Female Video of the Year award.
Right.
And then
she, was it at the Grammys?
It was at the MTV Video Music Awards.
MTV, okay.
Which she has plenty of those now. Right. But, like, I think that was early on in her career.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, you know, when the pop stars are young, you know, that's their thing. You know, MTV, you know. What I'm saying is MTV is, like, where these people start. You know, they worked their way up from MTV Awards and all the way on up. But, you know, that was like one of her crowning moments, man. And at the time, Kanye West was like, as big as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a guy, you know, and then what he said, he tried to put her against arguably the biggest female entertainer of all time.
Yep.
Beyonce Knowles. So it was a really shrewd thing for him to do, and she was gracious, man. You know, she was gracious about it. She's cool, man. Thumbs up for Taylor Swift. Thumbs up for Taylor, man. She's awesome. She really is. She really is.
You know what's interesting, and I don't have this list, but she owns 101 Guinness World Records.
Really?
And I was looking some of this up to try to, like, maybe talk about it on the podcast, but it is like streaming records and, you know, obviously concert records. But one of the things that was really interesting is that she holds the record of being she spent 36 weeks at number one on the Billboard charts.
Okay.
In her career, and apparently that's a world record.
36. That's more than half a year, right?
It's more than half a year.
Wow.
Half a year is 26 weeks.
Wow. Man, that's a really long time. But, what do you think about it?
But yeah, man, if you look up, you know, you can look up anything on the internet. But she holds 101 Guinness World Records.
Wow.
Which is like, of all the stuff I was looking up her career, I was like, that's really interesting.
I can guarantee you that holding 101 Guinness Book of World Records is a Guinness Book of World Records. I can guarantee you that's probably one of her, you know what I mean?
That's why it's 101.
Right, because she holds that award too. Man, she is cool. That's crazy.
And, you know, just I just want to kind of run down her accolades. Okay. She's released 10 albums. 9 of them have hit number one.
Jesus.
Her first album, Fearless, her first album, which was Taylor Swift in 06, the country record, went number 5. So she's had 10 top 5 albums.
And only the very first one.
Yeah, the only the first one went 5. Right. Everything else went number 1 after one. That.
Wow. Wow, man.
She's had 59 singles released on the Billboard charts.
Mm-hmm.
9 of them are number 1, including, as we record today...
Okay.
Cruel Summer is the number 1 song on the Billboard charts.
Okay.
Now, what's crazy about that
mm-hmm.
is that song was released 4 years ago in 2019.
And still up there.
And because of, I don't know if it's because of the summer tour or there's a TikTok going on. I mean, my apologies if you know, I don't do TikTok or any of that stuff. But if there's like somebody, like there must be a reason that song is being replayed. Right. Obviously, it's the summer. We just ended the summer. Mm-hmm. But it's back in the charts, and it's number 1 again. I don't think it was number 1 before. I could be wrong. But it's number 1 today, and the song's 4 years old.
Wow.
And the Billboard charts, they track, obviously, radio sales and you know, streams, iTunes and Spotify,
right.
But also like YouTube plays and like TikTok stuff. So anytime a song, like, you know, somebody does a dance or whatever, that song is like goes to the Billboard charts.
I can see that.
And so right now, as we talk, she's literally king of the world, queen of the world.
So she also, that song, It's Me, It's Me, that's her song, right?
Yeah.
Okay, see, now that, this is a testament to how popular, right? This is a testament to how popular she is, because I know that song. Yep. I've heard it 1,000 times. I hear it everywhere. It's on commercials, TikToks, YouTube, everywhere. But not only that, it's a really great song. If you listen to what she's saying, once again, she's talking about herself, her own downfalls, yada, yada, yay. She's a great artist, man. She's 100%. Great at what she does. She's great at it, man. Great. And I don't, you know, I think that might be her staple. That might be where her talent, like, really comes to a head. Yeah, how she can put that whole relationship, you know, drama, like teenage girl depression thing into a song and make, you know, make people feel good about it or make people not feel ashamed about what you're going through, because everybody goes through these things.
Exactly. And so, you know, we've, Jeremiah and I are doing fantasy football.
Mm-hmm. Wait, before we move on, let's talk about her impact on football.
Well, okay. I'm going to transition.
Okay, cool.
So as you know or don't know, we're in the same fantasy football league. This is Jeremiah's first year, and I've been doing it for a while.
We'll leave it at that.
Oh, man. And in the draft, I think I had like the 9th or 10th pick or something. We're in a 10-team league, and I never take tight ends in the first round. I hate it. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at the players that were available, I'm like, I got to take this guy. So I take Travis Kelce in the first round. And whatever. First week, he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't play. I lose. Second week, rumors start. I think he might be dating Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
I said, what? And she has shown up at 4 games or 5 games this year. 4 or 5, I could be wrong.
Okay.
But the Chiefs have won every game that she's been at, and Travis Kelce has balled out. So on a personal level, this story has affected me way more than I ever would have thought possible.
Your guy is balling because of Taylor, man.
I just stay together all year. Balling. I'm good. Don't break up.
Dude, I mean,
but talk about the impact.
Everywhere she goes, you know, everything she touches turns into gold, man. That's pretty much what it is at this point. I honestly believe her superstar impact, her celebrity impact is not only does she have Travis Kelce riding high, she got the whole NFL riding high.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she's at a game, I mean, the numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, for viewers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Off the charts. The team is playing good. And because, you know, not only, when I say celebrity impact, this is what I mean. You know, you go to a basketball game, and LeBron James is playing, but Michael Jordan is in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Denzel Washington is in the crowd. He's going to ball out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
These guys are playing, and you got the top icon in the world watching you guys play. They're going to ball, man. They're going to ball. You don't want to look bad in front of Taylor Swift.
No.
You know what I mean? You don't want to let her down, especially not Travis Kelce. And that's what I think it is, man. They riding high on her wave, man. They riding high. She's she might propel them all the way to a championship, man. And think about how great that would be. A championship. Has she ever done halftime at the Super Bowl?
She has not.
Wow.
She has been asked, and she has turned them down.
Oh, wow.
And that's officially, like, that's a real thing.
Okay. Do they know who's going to do halftime this year? I almost want to say they do have somebody.
It's Usher.
Oh, right. Well, nobody wants to see Usher. Nobody wants to see him. And I think he's already done it like once before, hasn't he?
I mean, he may have been a guest of somebody, but okay. He's the official artist this time.
Okay, because I almost want to say he's been up there before. But nobody wants to see him. It would be far, far more entertaining if Kansas City went to the bowl.
Yeah.
And then she performed at the halftime, and then they won. You know what I mean? It would just be like Taylor Swift overload.
If Kansas City went to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I bet she does like the national anthem.
You think so? That would be really cool, man.
I mean, they've had some really good national anthems in the last couple of years. Okay. Chris Stapleton, I think Lady Gaga, but I could be mistaken. I know she did the halftime show.
Okay.
But, dude, I mean, do you think the NFL is are they overhyping the fact that she's coming to the game to see her friend play? Do you think the NFL is like just drinking the Kool-Aid too much and putting her on TV more than she needs to be?
I would say no because it's Taylor Swift. Yeah, I
love that's your reason.
it's a legitimate reason. Okay, put it like this: if Taylor Swift was at the game and they never showed her not even one time, that would be an issue.
Okay,
people would be like, "Hey, what's going on? You know, Taylor Swift is there. You know, she's dating a guy on this team.
Yeah,
why aren't you guys even showing her at all? That would be an issue." So. When you look at it that way, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say absolutely not. I think the NFL is doing what anyone else would do who has Taylor Swift coming to their events. I mean, it's just what it is. She's a moneymaker, man.
Speaking of celebrity impact, mm-hmm. did you know that in 2016, Travis Kelce was on a reality dating show called Catching Kelce, where he was looking for love?
No, I did not know. How did that work out?
Well, the girl he picked, mm-hmm. they dated for a while and mm-hmm. broke up after about a year.
On that note, how long does this last? The Kelce Swift.
Well, they went Instagram official on the weekend. So after Sunday's game, they were at an after party. And Kadarius Toney, one of the wide receivers, and his girlfriend, mm-hmm. and Travis and Taylor were, you know, coupling up.
Right.
And they took a picture and posted a picture of Travis and Taylor kissing.
Oh.
And it's
official.
And it was posted with their permission, I would assume.
Right.
And they're not denying it, obviously. So it's Instagram official.
Okay.
How long does this last? I don't know. I mean, some media outlets are saying, you know, this could be the wedding bells, you know.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, you know, the other people she's dated, right? Harry Styles and even Taylor Lautner, Jacob from Twilight.
Ah, she dated Jacob from Twilight. Okay. Yep. I like that guy.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Who's that?
He's the villain in Spider-Man with the globe on his head.
Mysterio.
Mysterio.
She dated that guy.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
In fact, my favorite Taylor Swift song, okay. All Too Well, uh-huh. is a 10-minute song about their breakup.
So is that the guy who like I remember a while back,
uh-huh.
you know, it was like a huge thing about her album, about the breakup. Is this the guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He kept her scarf.
Okay.
The whole song is like, I want my scarf back.
Okay. Oh, man.
I mean, I'm simplifying right. It's tremendous piece of songwriting.
Okay.
But what's interesting is like, this is the first athlete she has publicly dated,
okay.
right? She's dated movie stars and singers and, you know, actors, okay. right? Whatever. So they're kind of in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know if, like, I don't know if she Those are like type A egotistical type people. Not in a bad way.
I know where you're going.
But, you know, to be a singer, to be a performer, to be an actor, you have to have like a certain mentality and a certain, I don't know.
I'm the guy.
I'm the guy. Mm-hmm. And I think that clashes. And we see that in a lot of celebrity relationships.
She's too big.
She's too big. Mm-hmm. She's too big for every one of those guys we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Even Harry Styles is big. She's bigger. Because I think Harry was still in One Direction at the time.
Okay.
He's a singles guy now.
Okay.
And he's pretty big. But back then, he was still in One Direction.
Okay.
Travis, you know, he's on a team of 52 guys. And he's technically not the biggest guy on his team because Patrick Mahomes is the man.
100%.
So he doesn't have to be the man. Mm-hmm. He's a great player. But like, you know, and even in his family, you know, his brother is a world champion football player for the Eagles.
Yeah.
So like, I think he's a kind of a humble guy. And maybe that can bring her down a bit.
Okay.
She doesn't have to be, the top person in that relationship because he's okay with that.
Right.
I think. I mean, right. I don't know.
I mean, well, if he's smart, he would be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, she's been in the stand. She's been in the skybox with Mama Kelsey.
Okay.
And in fact, her dad, I'm sorry, Travis's dad came out in some report and said, you know, I don't think she got the diva notice because she was picking up garbage and she was cleaning up the suite after the game. So like, you know, she's got that humble street.
Right. She's doing stuff that they're like, hey, we got people to do that for us.
But like, Kelsey's been on reality TV. He's been on SNL. Mm-hmm. He's in a ton of commercials. So like, I think the relationship works.
Okay.
And I think if they are together after the season and it's not a crazy publicity stunt that some people think it is, maybe this lasts a while.
Okay.
The fact that I'm hearing some news outlets talk about wedding bells
is
interesting because neither one of her relationships before was ever talked about that.
Really? That's interesting. That is interesting. I'd like to know, you know, how long did those other previous relationships last? I'd like to know that. But I think you're right about that. The whole clashing with the egos thing. I think that's a real thing. I think that is a real thing. Especially considering, you know, she's the woman. And, you know, the men are under her. In pretty much every way, status, money, you name it, she's got them all beat. So, you know, I think that probably does do a number on other people in the entertainment industry. But seeing that Travis Kelce is in a whole different, like, realm of profession.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be a problem for them. I really don't.
Yeah, and I think that works.
I think it does, too. I think they look good together, man. They look good. Ooh. She looks happier than ever, you know. Travis is balling.
Yes.
You know, I think it's looking good.
It doesn't hurt when she brings Deadpool and Wolverine to the game.
Right. It doesn't hurt at all. We love those two guys. Doesn't hurt at all. And that's another thing, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you guys are playing in front of Taylor Swift, and then all of a sudden, whoa, there's Hugh Jackman. Whoa, there's the guy who plays Deadpool. Now we really, really, really got a ball.
Exactly.
You know? So I see pluses all across the board. She really doesn't have any negatives because she doesn't come with that negative energy around her.
No, and it's all, like you said, it's all positive and it's all money. Mm-hmm. You know, ratings and ticket sales. Like the Packers are awful this year. Mm-hmm. They're a bad team. And it's hard to watch. But the Chiefs are coming to town in Lambeau.
Okay.
And
Taylor will be there.
And there are reports that Taylor will be there.
Holy cow.
In addition to Taylor Swift being at the Packer-Chiefs game,
okay,
Simone Biles will also be there that day.
Really?
Because
the gymnast.
The gymnast.
Okay.
Because her husband, Jonathan Owens, plays safety for the Packers.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you go to the Packer Chiefs game, you might get to see Taylor and Simone Biles.
Right.
If you want to see some gold medal winning gymnast and, you know, the iconic Taylor Swift.
Right. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be pandemonium up there, man. It's going to be absolute pandemonium. Like she comes to these games and they turn into, like a concert event.
Yeah.
Like, she's not performing or she's just there, you know, supporting her guy.
And speaking of concerts, we're going to finish with this is the second week of her Eras Tour film. It came out a couple weeks ago, and it had huge opening weekend. And this concert film is pretty much a straight concert. It's 3 hours of a mix of her six shows at SoFi in L.A.
Okay.
And it made $125 million its opening weekend, Friday to Sunday.
Incredible.
And that is the best October release in film history. It surpassed the Joker's opening weekend of $120 million, which was a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
And
how's she doing against, like, other concerts?
Yeah. Films? So she has eclipsed the 90 million that Justin Bieber's Never Say Never, in its complete run of like 2 or 3 months, back in 2011. And Michael Jackson's This Is It has a box office of like, it was like
286, I want to say.
Yeah, 286 million. So I don't know if it hits that number.
Okay.
She's at, after 2 weeks, she's at 78 million.
Okay.
If this runs through the holidays, I think she might beat Michael Jackson.
Okay.
But it has set the one-day record of ticket sales.
Hmm.
She sold $26 million for the Friday night opening night, which breaks the previous record of $16.9 million. That Spider-Man No Way Home did on its opening day.
That's interesting. The fan base is there, man.
Dude, and it is. I mean, it's a film that, honestly, if it goes to Netflix, I'll probably check it out. I've seen a couple of her films on Netflix, some of the concerts films. She puts on a great show. It's a great production,
okay,
especially set up in the stadiums that she's doing. I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
Really? I'll probably check it out too, man. I'll probably check it out too.
But yeah, so we're going to transition from her. Speaking of Spider-Man.
Oh.
Last weekend, Jeremiah was, he took the day off of work.
Yes, sir, I did.
Took Friday off so he could play the new Spider-Man 2 video game.
Indeed.
On PS5. So, Jeremiah, tell us about Spider-Man 2.
All right. Well, for those of you who know about the game, it was huge. It was a huge release. Something that, you know, gamers have been waiting on for, I think, 3 years now. No, what? Since 2018. So, 2018 to almost 2024, about four, almost 6 years now. People have been waiting on this game.
It has been that long. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And for those of you who don't know, the 2018 version sold over 30 million copies. It's still selling today. Spider-Man 2 broke a record in 24 hours, the video game sold over 2.5 million copies.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And that's a record. That's it's ridiculous.
At $70 a pop?
Mm-hmm. Wow. In 24 hours, 2.5 million. So it just doesn't get any bigger than that. You just talked about the Spider-Man movie. Huge. Anything with Spider-Man attached to it is going to go crazy. But the video game was very well done. A great story. Had Venom in it, played by Tony Todd. And it had some cliffhangers at the end. Well, this isn't a gaming podcast, so I'll give some spoilers. Pretty much Green Goblin is going to come make his entrance in Spider-Man 3.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Venom, you know, was menacing And he was a really scary character in the game. It was really dark, man. It was a dark story.
Was it... how? So did you finish the whole story? You finished the whole game?
Yes.
About how long did that take you?
Well, I kind of nerded out over the weekend. So I kind of just, you know, went for it. All right, so the story. Let's just say you did all the main missions, nothing else. None of the side content. That's about 20 hours of gameplay.
Okay.
To complete the game 100%, that's about 30 hours. Maybe give or take a few more hours. So about 30 hours. 30 hours to complete the game. It's around the same time frame as the 2018 version. There was a lot of controversy when the game released, because people were saying, oh, 30 hours, that's too short. But, you know, people complain about everything, man. People complain. Now, what's interesting about this game is there were multiple things they did that they haven't done in the last games, which is they got a little political in the video game. Some people didn't like it. I didn't mind it because it wasn't overboard, but you had references to gun violence and gun control in the game, gay relationships. There was even, like, I think there was like a mission that had to do with like kind of race a little bit.
Okay.
But they never overdid it. They just kind of like hit on it and then drew back really, really quick.
Are you saying that people were complaining about a gun violence storyline or a part of the story?
No, people were complaining that Spider-Man is the new woke video game.
Okay.
Some people were like on Twitter saying, "Oh, Spider-Man, you know, they're woke now. They're being woke." And be honest, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing nowadays.
Like, why is it woke?
I really don't know. I that's what I'm saying. I don't know what people really mean by when they call things woke.
But like you specifically kind of said about a gun story or gun violence.
Okay. So what happened was, like, you know, Spider-Man, he does quips. Like, when he's beating up bad guys, he's like making snarky remarks or whatever.
Yep.
And in one of the missions, like the entire fight, he's like making quips about guns, how he doesn't like guns. And, you know, there should be, you know, he's making quips about, you know, somebody should control you guys with all these guns, you know, stuff like that. People didn't appreciate it. I really didn't mind.
Have they ever seen Spider-Man's origin story?
Obviously not.
Because if you know Spider-Man's history, where his uncle gets shot with a gun on the street.
By a bad guy.
He would be against guns.
Exactly. He protects the city. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense. So I didn't really mind that, because it's like, I didn't look at it as, oh, this is a political. It was like, no, it's kind of just like Spider-Man being Spider-Man now. You know what I mean?
Like, if I was reading that in a comic book, I'd be like, duh.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Why would he? Doesn't make any sense to, I don't know, try to put that in like some kind of, you know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense to me for people to be trying to hark on that. Then there was another mission where, you know, you go meet this guy and, you know, he's talking about, he's trying to do something special for, you know, someone he's dating.
Okay.
And, you know, through the whole thing, it seems as though, until they say a name, it seems as though he's talking about a woman, but he's not. He's talking about another man. So you go through the mission, you help him, you know, set up this big thing for him and his partner. And that was it. There was no kissing. They didn't even hug. It was just two guys in a relationship, verbal relationship by all standards, because they, like I said, there was no kissing, there was no hugging, nothing. You know, there was just two guys in a relationship. They did a mission. You helped the guy do something for his boyfriend. That was it. People had an issue with that. People had an issue with that. And then I can't remember, because, you know, Miles Morales is black.
Yes.
Or mixed, whatever. He's like Hispanic and black or something like that. So, you know, when there was like a mission where, like, what was it? I'm trying to think here. He does something to where it's like a community thing, like the Brooklyn side of New York.
Okay.
which is majority black people or Hispanic people or whatever. And that was it, man. That was it. They were like, you know, they said something like, oh, this is our Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man didn't do anything pertaining to race. After the mission was complete, someone asked one of the characters, like, who did that? And the guy said, oh, our Spider-Man did that.
Mm.
You know?
Okay.
But in the terms of the game, though, when they say our Spider-Man, they mean Brooklyn's Spider-Man. Because he oversees a different part of New York than the original Spider-Man. He doesn't do right. Manhattan. He does Brooklyn or whatever, right. Queens. And some people had an issue with that. I didn't see an issue with it either. Because like I said, it's not the first time they've said that about Miles Morales.
In this game, is Peter Parker and Miles Morales mm-hmm. consecutively... Are they mm-hmm. coexisting in the same
mm-hmm.
story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're so, both, like, mm-hmm. so, like, if they are... So, like, at the Spider-Man convention,
mm-hmm.
Peter Parker and Miles Morales are like, yeah, I'm Brooklyn...
Your oh man. No! You can swing anywhere with either one. Like you can. You
but know but what I but what I mean is like, do you get the feeling that they are? Yeah, they uh-huh. are interchangeable.
Uh-huh.
But their oh, home borough.
Yep. Yep.
Is Brooklyn and one is Manhattan.
100%. 100%. 100%.
Because yeah. what if the white people mm-hmm. in were but, like. No. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter Parker is my guy.
Right.
You know, uptown.
And I, you know what's crazy? Because, so your first question, yes, they do, like, it's a thing. Miles Morales is Brooklyn. That's where he got his start at the Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
And of course, Peter Parker is the greater area of Manhattan and, you know, all that up and down. Yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, I agree with those people. Miles Morales is not Spider-Man, okay? If you ask me, like, okay, if they were to get rid of one of them, it would definitely be Miles Morales for me because he's not Spider-Man. Spider-Man is Spider-Man and Miles Morales is Miles Morales. And it's just that simple to me, man. It's just that simple. I don't think it's that big of a deal because they're not making it a racial thing. It's just like a district thing. And in the game, they don't limit you. You can't just be in Brooklyn with Miles Morales. You can go all over the place. You can go wherever you want to. You can fight crime and, you know, do missions all over the place. He's not just cornered in Brooklyn. But, yes, that's where he gets his... That's his roots, Brooklyn. You know?
You said the story was kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to expand on that?
Sure. Got some killing in there.
Okay.
Venom bites Kraven's head off.
What?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Venom bites Kraven's head off. By the way, Kraven was phenomenal.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
He looked great in the trailers.
Mm-hmm. He was phenomenal. Like he was just this bloodthirsty like hunter. There was a scene because you got to play with Venom. You actually told me this. We were talking about this before the game released.
Yeah.
And you were right. Venom got to play with him, which was incredible. It was so cool. Got to play with Venom. But when you're playing with Venom, you have like this fight with Kraven.
Okay.
And like while you're fighting Kraven as Venom, who all the way up until this point is like, Venom is like this insane monster dude. And Kraven... he's just like constantly pushing Venom, trying to get more and more out of like it was just insane. Kraven just seemed like this crazy bloodthirsty. He actually kills Peter Parker in the game, and the symbiote saves Peter.
Wow.
That's how Peter gets the symbiote in the game. Kraven kills him relatively easy, by the way.
I would think so. Yeah.
Kills Peter. Peter dons the symbiote after that, and it's on after that, man.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. You get to fight a Spider-Man on a Spider-Man fight. Miles has to go up against Pete because Pete is, like, losing all control. It's pretty epic, man. It's pretty epic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was pretty epic.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
It was dope, man.
So, would you say that this is probably one of the best... So, let me rephrase the question. God of War Ragnarok.
Okay.
That came out this year?
Yes.
Do you think Spider-Man 2 is better than that?
That is a tough question.
Because I know you love that game.
Yes. Oh, man. That's a question that, you know...
Might have to think about.
Man, we could debate that and talk about that for hours. Because they're such iconic characters. And, you know, Kratos is just such a badass dude. It's hard to, you know what I mean, just put somebody over him and the stories they tell with that guy.
They are pretty much right on top.
But I will say, if anybody could beat out Kratos and the God of War series, it's 100% Spider-Man. The reason why this game is one of the reasons why this game is such a big deal is because how technically advanced the game is.
Okay.
You get to fly around the city.
Wow.
Yes, you get to swing and fly because they have wings. You're moving really fast. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that video games just don't do. There's a fast travel mechanic where you go into the map and you put your little cruiser and you just point your cruiser wherever you want to, and you click the button and it immediately just like zooms you right into that. It's insane. It's insane, you know. So it's a great game, man.
Awesome.
More than likely it'll be running for
game of the year. Okay.
More than likely.
Awesome. That sounds incredible.
Yep.
But real quick before we get to the next topic, I do want to talk about this article I got in the paper here. I just want to read this, and I want to get your thoughts as I read this.
Okay.
Microsoft completed its purchase of video game maker Activision Blizzard for $69 billion, closing one of the most expensive tech acquisitions in history that could have repercussions across the video game industry. The notice that the deal has gone through came 7 hours after Microsoft got final approval from Britain's competition watchdog, which reversed its earlier decision to block the merger, removing the last obstacle for the transaction. Taking over the studios behind blockbuster games like Call of Duty, Diablo, and Overwatch will be a boost for Microsoft's Xbox gaming console, which ranks third in sales behind PlayStation and Nintendo. The software giant also has bigger ambitions to fold Activision titles into its multi-game subscription service that works something like a Netflix for video games. Mm-hmm. Last paragraph. The nearly 22 months it took to close the deal reflected concerns from rivals and government regulators that Microsoft could use its growing collection of games to stifle competition. It's part of a broader industry consolidation that also has some independent game developers worried they'll get sidelined. Your thoughts.
Man. Big move by Microsoft. And it is going to change things. Right now, Microsoft is kind of playing the big money game.
Yeah.
You know, they're consuming, they're consolidating, they're gonna get as many studios as they can. And people are worried because Xbox, with their gaming service. That's what it is. It's a gaming service. Gaming subscription service. People are worried, PlayStation, are worried that eventually Microsoft will own so many IP that when it comes time for them to put out their games, not only is no one going to want to pay that much money, but Microsoft is taking a position that if you don't follow it, you're eventually going to be left behind. So basically what I'm saying is if Sony doesn't do something comparable to Game Pass, they will be left behind. In the Sony, you know, some emails leaked where some of the Microsoft guys said, you know, we can just, you know, spin Sony out of business. Mm. And that's what people are scared of. People are scared that, you know, Sony... No, Microsoft is going to create a monopoly that Sony has no choice but to follow. But Sony can't do what Microsoft can do.
And what is the Microsoft Game Pass?
Microsoft Game Pass, you pretty much get any and every game they have for about $15 a month.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I I don't have the new Xbox S or X. I have Xbox One. Mm. I play a couple games here or there. I've got Madden and 2K and stuff like that. But if you're telling me for $15 a month, I can just play any game at any time instead of spending $70 on one, you know, game, that's incredible. That changes my viewpoint on playing games again.
And that's where the fear comes in for Sony, because most gamers are casual gamers. You, me, we're not professionals.
Right.
We play the game when we can. When there's a game we want Spider-Man 2, we know we play the game. Casual fans. And for the casual game player, Game Pass is the way, 100%. You cannot beat that. $15 a month for every game they have, right, including the Activision Blizzard games, which they now own.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's less than Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Which includes, by the way, Call of Duty, which is the, like, it makes the most money out of any game every year. It's been doing that for, like, the last 20 years.
That's wild.
Yo. And to get this deal done, Microsoft had to agree that they wouldn't take Call of Duty away from PlayStation.
Wow.
That was, like, in their legal terms, that Call of Duty, they had to promise, legally, yes, that they would not remove Call of Duty from PlayStation because it would put them out of business almost overnight.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That's incredible, man.
Yep. Yep. Big Microsoft, man. Big Microsoft.
Wow. I mean, it changes my mentality of, like, maybe I should get, you know, one of these systems, get an Xbox S for Christmas.
It's a bargain.
But because, I mean, the Mortal Kombat 1 game looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man 2 sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to finish with something fun.
Let's go.
We are about 2 hours away from tip-off at Pfizer Forum as the Milwaukee Bucks will start their championship season against the Philadelphia
76ers. Yes, yes, yes.
We've got Giannis, Dame,
woo,
Brooke, Chris,
woo,
Beasley, Portis.
Bochamp.
Oh, my God.
And the Giannis brothers.
And the Giannis, the Lopez brothers. The Antetokounmpo
brothers. The Lopez brothers.
We are excited for the NBA season because it's going to be something special for Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited overall for the league. There's a lot of stuff happening in the association. And I just want to kind of do a quick, I don't know, crystal ball, right? Okay. Like I'm just going to kind of riff here a little. Who do you think will be the NBA champion this year?
I'm going Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
I'm going Bucks.
Bucks in six.
Bucks in six, man. Might be five this year, man. We got lots of firepower. We got lots of firepower. And this isn't even a biased take. This is a strictly, basketball fan take. I don't see how you're going to be able to overcome the shooting of Dame Lillard and the inside dominance of Giannis. I just don't see. I don't see how you get around that. I was talking to my brother a couple days back, and I said, dude, this is, when you think about it, this is the modern day. Kobe Bryant and Shaq. Modern day NBA Kobe Bryant and Shaq. Because the game has changed a lot. And when you think about Shaq, there's no one closer than Giannis. Inside, dunk on anybody, stronger than everybody, bigger than everybody. You know, that's Shaq. When you think about Kobe Bryant, shot creator, can make any shot, you know, just absolute killer in the clutch, yada, yada, yay. That's Damian Lillard. Except he shoots like 100 times more three-pointers than Kobe Bryant. So, you know, it's the modern-day NBA versions of Shaq and Kobe on a team together. That's why I'm looking at it. And when you look at what Shaq and Kobe did together, three straight championship rings. They're on contracts right now. Giannis just signed his extension.
Yes, three-year extension.
Dame is on a three-year contract with the Bucks. I say three championships, man.
Oh, man.
I say three championships.
Woo! I will also agree. I think it's the Bucks. I think it's the Bucks against the Nuggets, which should have been last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anybody in the West beating the Nuggets.
You know? Me neither, man.
You know, the Lakers may have a good season. The Mavericks may have a good season. The Warriors may have a good season. But Jokic and Murray together, you know, similar to the Shaq and Kobe conversation, mm-hmm. the Nuggets have that in Murray and Jokic. 100%. Both, we're talking two MVPs here, Jokic and Giannis. We're talking six-man or, you know, all NBA teams in Murray and mm-hmm. Lillard. Those are, and Nuggets are returning all five starters of their championship team. And, you know, the Bucks in the Lillard trade opened up a spot for Malik Beasley to be a huge contributor. Marjan's going to step up. Mm-hmm. I think it's the Nuggets and the Bucks, and I think the Bucks do it.
I hear you on that, man. Yeah. I pretty much agree with you on that. I don't think it's even close in the West. Jokic, oh, man, he is so good. He is such a good player. I don't think it's even close.
No.
It's not even close. Those other teams don't stand a chance.
So then we say, well, assuming the Nuggets and the Bucks make it to the finals, mm-hmm. Are either one of those guys, Jokic or Giannis, your MVP pick?
Now that's tough. That's tough. And we also kind of discussed this a little bit, kind of threw some ideas around.
Right.
It's going to be tough for Jokic and Giannis to get MVP. Jokic just won MVP. He has what, two?
Yep.
Two now? He has two MVPs. Giannis has two MVPs. Or does he have three?
Two.
Okay. They both have two MVPs already, so it's not like those guys don't have the award already. Both of them have great teams and individual teammates. Both of them just have, like, top-notch guards. Along with, you know, just great coaching staffs, great teammates. The organization is about winning. You know, it's going to be tough to give one of those guys an MVP over someone like Zion Williamson, if he balls out and the Pelicans do well. Who else you got out there? You got some other players. Luka Doncic. Who we got in the East? Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
You know, people along that line. Some guys who maybe haven't won it yet. Some guys who are probably going to do really, really well this year. Because I just feel like everybody right now pretty much know that Giannis and Jokic are going to have phenomenal seasons.
Yep.
They're going to ball out. Everybody knows that. I don't think there's anything Giannis can do unless he averages 40 points and 20 rebounds. That he has, you know what I mean, 30 points and, what, 15 rebounds. I mean, he does that every freaking year. And Jokic, same thing, triple-double. I don't think it's anything stat-wise they're going to do to make it, you know, push them towards that MVP because they're always so great all the time. It's kind of like the fatigue effect of LeBron and Michael Jordan. Yep. You know, these guys are they're great. You know, you can't give it to them every year, even though you can. You know what I mean? So that's why I think it's going to go on. I don't think either one of those guys wins the MVP. I think it's going to be somebody else. I don't think now I tell you a shot in the dark. My dark horse, Damian Lillard.
Okay.
Dark horse Damian Lillard. I think if Damian Lillard averages 32 points like he did last year on this team, he's going to have a strong case.
That's incredible. That would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I agree with a lot of what you said about Jokic and Giannis. You know, Tatum's a guy that kind of came to my mind when I think about this question, but I think the Sacramento Kings may have a really good season in the West. They had a very good season last year, exceeding expectations. And if they take that next step to top three mm-hmm. or two team in the West, mm-hmm. I think their point guard, De'Aaron Fox, is the leader. I think he goes 25, 26 a night, you know, maybe 10 assists. Because that team, without him... Mm-hmm. Doesn't go anywhere. So I think he's my MVP pick.
Okay.
And we are just about out of time on today's episode.
Unfortunately.
Everyone, thank you for listening. If you are not already following us, we are on X @DestructionPod. We have our Facebook fan group. Please like us, subscribe, rate, comment on Spotify, Apple, and Google. And with that, Jeremiah, send us home.
All right. It's been fun, you guys. I'm Jeremiah, along with co-host Jason. We are Destruction Reviews. We'll catch you next time. Ask your parents before subscribing.